You're listening to Rosemary Goes to the Mall, the saga of one woman's lonely journey around the Mall of America. As I park my car at the Mall of America, I realize that it's high time I do something about the paper that has been stuck underneath my windshield wiper for the past week or so, ever since I parked my car at the airport last weekend, and I came back to find something under the windshield wiper, and I realize that it's there when I'm driving, but as soon as I park the car, this knowledge disappears and just vanishes from my brain. But I finally managed to hold on to retain, in fact, the understanding that I really should get this damn thing out from underneath my windshield wiper. And it turns out to be a flyer from the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletter. And wow, Tony Alamo looks a little bit like Elvis Presley. It's kind of strange, but he has a very negative view of the universe and what's going to happen. In fact, inside the World Newsletter is an insert which is titled in huge block letters, "Mass Suicide by Tony Alamo," and it foretells of a series of catastrophes, which of course are foretold in the Bible, which are going to happen within our very generation. And it's really quite a document. So this is kind of a strange way to start out my day at the mall, but I tuck it in my bag and figure I'll brush up on that a bit later. The first thing I have to do is my returns, and I have two full bags of returns from my last visit. I'm really nervous about these returns too, because I kind of pushed the envelope last visit and bought some very big ticket items and feeling very uncomfortable about them, very uncomfortable about the returns and very uncomfortable about still having them in my possession. I'm really anxious to get rid of them, but I get a locker. One thing I don't like to do is to show up doing returns with huge bags of stuff that I'm returning. I just think people are going to think either I'm an insane shopper or just weird because of how much I'm returning. So I put one of the bags with the returns, with the big ticket item returns, like the sunglasses and the watch and what else? There's something else. Oh, the tote from Franklin Covey. I put those in the locker, and I figure I'll do the easy ones first and get those done. And to my relief, as I'm walking through the mall, I notice that in a number of those big stores, those stores where I bought the big ticket items, there are different salespeople there today. So I'm greatly relieved about that. I just can't quite handle the pressure of the interaction with the person that I purchased it from. I feel like it's like you make a pact with that person that they provided you with something that you loved and you provided them with their commission and everybody was happy, and that somehow you're going back on that. It's different when you're really shopping and you really bring something back for a good reason, as opposed to what I'm doing, which is completely frivolous and manipulative. So I feel kind of weird about that. So I'm really relieved that I don't have to have those interactions about why I didn't like them and what happened and blah, blah, blah. It's a Puzzle will not take a return, it turns out. I just did not read the receipt at all when I purchased the Puzzle yesterday. So I have to exchange it. And they're really kind of stingy and weird about store credit. Like, they won't just give a store credit that you could use whenever. I have to use it within a couple months. And I don't know, the likelihood of my motivating back to It's a Puzzle seems pretty low. So I go and look around and I get these two woodcraft construction kits for the kids. And I figure, you know, Garrett can have one and Evan can have the other one. And one is an airplane and the other one is a helicopter. I think they're going to really dig them. They're probably a bit too tough for Garrett, but we can do them together, and they'll totally love having those. So, then at Ben Bridge, when I have to return the watch, you know, I'm feeling really bad about the watch. I told Keith when I got it that I'd gotten him a watch, and I asked him if he wanted to see it, and he kind of did, but he kind of didn't. It kind of freaked him out that I bought him a $275 watch. I think it made him really nervous. He started talking about the credit cards and how the credit card company's going to get weirded out, and he's very supportive, but I can tell he's nervous that I'm going to spend a lot of money and somehow get stuck spending it instead of really bringing the stuff back. At the same time, he'll say, "Oh, it's so cool that you're doing this." And, but I can tell, like, he kind of doesn't want to hear too much about it. That's fair enough. So Ben Bridge, I bring that back and he didn't really want to see it. Oh, that was the point of the story. He didn't really want to see the watch, but he did kind of want to see the watch. And when he saw it, he completely loved it. And I think secretly coveted it. But he left the room immediately. He wouldn't even touch it. He just went, "Oh, wow, that's a really nice watch." And then looked nervous and left the room. So I just put the top back on the box, and that was that. But as I'm returning the watch to Ben Bridge, I have this little pang of sadness that I can't buy Keith a watch like that. It would be so nice to have the sense of leisure and whatever to just buy him something like that, just because it'd be so nice to give him something special for no, absolutely no reason. And I kind of regret that I'm not the person that I pretend to be as I'm in here. In any case, once I'm done my returns, I head upstairs and end up going past Williams-Sonoma, which of course I did two visits ago. And I did end up returning that cookbook. I just decided that it wasn't a good enough cookbook to really hang on to. It was a little frivolous. But I'm going to cook a chicken tonight, and I need a meat thermometer because my old meat thermometer doesn't work. And Keith put my instant meat thermometer into some piece of meat and stuck it in the oven for half an hour, and it melted and it doesn't work anymore. So I am out a meat thermometer, so I need to buy one. And I go into Williams-Sonoma and pick one out. And it's kind of funny to be back in there with a real reason to be buying something. I'm shopping for real instead of looking for an excuse to buy something. And so, oh, here's the best part about the whole purchase is they give me this bag, which is long and thin, but it's still one of these heavy paper bags, and I really love it. It's really differently shaped than a lot of the other bags that I've gotten. It's especially shaped for kitchen utensils, and I just think it's fantastic. Up one more flight of stairs, I'm now on the third floor. I've decided to cover the same territory on the third floor that I've covered on the first and the second so far, so that I can just mark off one whole part of the map and call it done. I also am avoiding doing the first floor, you know, the other part of the west side, because I'm not in a big trying on clothes mood once again. And there's a lot of women's clothes down there. And I just figure I'll save that for later when I'm not feeling so cranky. But the first store that I encounter up on the third floor is Champs, which is a sports sneaker store mainly. And they've got some clothes too. And I'm not sure what to buy here, but I know that Keith needs some socks, so I start there. And, you know, to be honest, I could use some socks too. So I pick out these really nice, lightweight, black, short socks that are sort of sports socks for Keith, in Keith's size. And then I also pick out some white sports socks for myself that I can use for my walks in the morning. Because one thing about moving to Minnesota is that when I lived in New York, I walked all the time, and I wasn't exactly in good shape, but I moved to Minnesota and started driving everywhere, and I was having weird chest pains and things in the fall just because I never, ever, ever exercised at all. So I've taken to the very... Well, I've taken up walking, and I feel kind of self-conscious about it because it's a very suburban mom thing to do. And I kind of wish that I was more sexy and glamorous and could say be a runner or something. I still do yoga, but I'm having trouble getting to classes as much as I used to. But the walking, I really need cardiovascular exercise. And so 2, 3, sometimes even 4 times a week, I get up and I walk about 5 miles in the morning, which is great. And it's been huge for me. It's made a huge, huge difference in how I feel. So in any case, long and short of it is that I need some sports socks also. And so I buy myself some too. On the way up to the counter, I also see these black flip-flops with pink lining, and some of them have blue. And I kind of search around a little bit to see if they have a size 10 in the blue ones, which they don't. So I end up with the black and pink ones. And I already bought a pair of Skechers, not really flip-flops, but summer shoes. But I always feel like flip-flops are so useful as just throwaway shoes. But then I'm starting to feel like maybe I'm being a little frivolous here. And so these I may take back. I'm not sure. I'm feeling kind of mixed about them. They're cute though, and they would be useful. But do I need every little thing that would be useful? I'm not really sure. Then I'm waiting for the guy to come check me out. And I notice they have those little cute little gym bags. I don't know if that's what they are. They're these rectangular just sacks. They're rectangular, and then if you pull them shut, you know, they're just a drawstring bag, and you there's 2 sets of strings so you can wear it over your shoulders. I used to see them all the time in New York, and I have to say, I always thought they were really cool, although kind of useless, but I kind of want one. I try to get the one that's up top, which is a purple one with the Nike symbol on it, but I can't reach it and there's no one around to help me. So I give up and I go for the blue and white striped one, which is a little further down. It's kind of classic looking. So I figure that's a good choice as well. When the guy finally checks me out, the really funny thing is that he puts all my stuff into an inside-out footlocker bag, and I just start laughing, and I said, why are you putting my stuff into an inside-out footlocker bag? I mean, it'd be one thing to put it inside a footlocker bag, and then I'd say, oh, isn't that interesting? They're the same company. But he puts it inside an inside-out one, which you can read perfectly well. It's just backwards. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Anyway, he proceeds to tell me that the parent company has cut them off. I started laughing even harder, and I said, did you guys not pay your bills? And he says, well, it's not just us. It's all the Champs stores, and it's a cost-cutting measure. And so we ran out of bags, but then they had these old Foot Locker ones, and so they sent these to us. And then he says, but we're about to get the new order of bags in. So apparently next week or the week after, they'll actually have Champs bags instead of inside out Foot Locker bags. right next to Champs is the Sport Authority. And I'm feeling a little tapped out here, I have to admit, on the sports thing. And I guess I'm going to start buying Keith more sports stuff for running or cycling or something. But then I encounter their shoe section. And it's not like the shoe section in Champs where you actually have to ask someone to get you a size, which requires tons of effort. This is set up like a Famous Footwear, or like DSW Shoes was yesterday, where they have the shoe up on the counter and then underneath they have accessible to you all the different sizes that they have available. And I figure this is not bad. I can do this at my own speed. I don't have to really feel like I'm shopping. I can just play around and try these on. First, I find a pair of Pumas, which are completely useless as sports shoes. They're really just cool shoes. And I have to admit, I have always wanted a pair of Pumas desperately. They're so cool. And I've never had a pair, and I've kind of resented that. And there's this pair of these sneakers with like the thinnest little soles, and they're almost like ballet slippers sneaker style. They have this purple satin with light blue. The Puma Wave is in this light blue stripe along the side, and they're very petite. They fit very closely around your foot. They're not big clunky sneakers. They're very much the shape of your foot. I really dig them, and they have a size 10. So I'm going to have to try those on. Then one aisle over, they have walking shoes. And because of my new walking hobby, I'm thinking that I really kind of need a pair of walking shoes for the summer. I have a pair of Keens that I've been walking in, and they're fine. But once it gets hot, those Keens are going to start to stink. So I've had it in the back of my mind that I need a pair of walking shoes. I haven't really admitted this to Keith yet, because every expense for us, of course, is something to sweat over and worry about. But I seize the opportunity and walk over to the walking shoes aisle. However, it turns out walking shoes are kind of dumb looking. They're just dumb old regular white sneaker looking sneakers. And I don't really like dumb old regular looking sneakers. I want something with a little more style. And they have one pair which is not like that. They're this gray color. They're transparent in certain areas. They seem like they're sort of form fitting. They have laces, but it almost seems like you wouldn't even really need to use them. There's no tongue in them like there is in a normal sneaker. It's just one whole shoe, and then there are laces that where you could actually tighten the front part a little bit. And the soles are really funky, and they're called Nike Free. And I really want to try these on. And first I look and I can only find a 9.5, and they're dark, and that's not really what I wanted. I try them on and they're way too small. But then when I bring them back, I discover off to the side a pair of 10s that I hadn't noticed before in the light gray. And I bring those over and try those on, and I walk around in them, and they feel pretty good. They're kind of weird. They're really different from a normal sneaker. And I ask the sales girl about them, and she said that the reason they're like that is they're trying to make it feel like you're not really wearing a sneaker. The theory behind it is that they're really good for your feet because they mold to your feet, and they simulate walking without shoes, but while still protecting your feet. In any case, I think they're super cool, and I don't feel like a dork wearing them, which is critical to my not feeling like I'm just becoming a total suburban housewife. My dilemma now is that I like the Pumas and I like the Nikes, and it seems really extravagant to get two pairs of shoes, especially because I have no intention whatsoever of bringing these back. They're both on sale, which is helping me, but I'm feeling the guilt. You know, the first time I came to the Mall of America to shop, I only kept one thing, and that was Lindsay's baby shower present. Then the last time I came, my second time, I kept more things. I kept the facial mask from the Body Shop. I kept the little wallet from Franklin Covey. I kept the sun hat, and I kept the Adidas summer sandals. And I also had to keep those prints that I bought. I could have bought just one instead of bought four. So this is not a good trend. I'm a little worried about this trend, and I'm having thoughts that maybe I should bring some of those things back. Maybe I should bring back the mask and I should bring back the wallet. It's like, what will be the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of spending too much money? Would I rather have these pairs of shoes than any of that crap from my last visit? In any case, I bravely walk up to the counter and purchase these two pairs of shoes, feeling guilty and yet totally psyched at the same time. I'm unclear exactly what the Chopperstown USA store is until I get inside, and it seems like some kind of a biker's store or something. It's filled with vile, crass t-shirts, with things written on them like, "Hello, princess, go get me a beer," or one picture of some guy with his genitals, and it says "you" on it. And then there's another picture of another guy with bigger genitals, and it says "me." You know, drugs, beer, rock and roll, babes, bitches. This is what this store is about. I don't even want to be in here. But I finally find a t-shirt which I could at least feel remotely okay about buying, which is a picture of two guys, and it's two dumbass frat boy types. And then they've replaced their heads with Dick Cheney and George Bush. They've got their arms around each other. And Dick Cheney's t-shirt says, "I'm with stupid," and has an arrow pointing at George Bush. And George Bush's t-shirt says, "I'm with Satan," and has an arrow that points back at Dick Cheney. I can deal with this at the very least, but I figure I'm going to return it anyway, so who cares? I just want to get out of here. Right next door to Chopperstown USA is Old Vine Wine and Spirits. This is a nice change of pace for me. I have no problems going into a wine store and picking out a bottle of wine, especially one that I don't have to return. I'm 100% okay with this situation. I pick out a nice Argentinian Malbec, which I love Argentinian Malbec, and this will be a nice addition to some pleasant dinner and evening with me and Keith. Nordstrom Rack is next, and this is a bit of a Marshalls situation for me, where I know plenty of people who shop at stores like this and find wondrous things for no money at all. And I always go into these places and flounder and panic and end up leaving with nothing, or worse yet, leaving with things I don't really like just because they're cheap. So I'm feeling a little bit dubious about this store experience, but I charge right in, and I'm carrying a lot of stuff already by this point. and it's hard to maneuver around. But I do my best, and I start looking through racks, and I'm having exactly the experience I thought I was going to have, where everything is... Nothing really looks me. If I find something that's me, it turns out to be in a size small. So I'm really feeling a bit discouraged. But then I end up on this rack where I start to hit some shirts that I like. And I pick out a few to try on. And then I see someone walk by me with a pair of really nice looking jeans. So I think, well, I'm going to gravitate over to the jean rack. And first of all, I have a little flash because there's a couple Tommy Bahama sections. And of course, I had real aversion to Tommy Bahama store that is downstairs. But there's a Calvin Klein rack, and their jeans are always really nice. I find a pair of size 10s that I'm going to try on. So now I'm getting pretty loaded down. And then the coat rack catches my eye, and I see this beautiful big brown winter coat marked down to about $50. You know, it's a $250 coat for $50. It's like size 3X, and I don't really know what that means, but I just pick it out and figure I'll try that on. And then I make my way to the lighter coat rack, and there's all these really cute, very New York, very stylish looking light cotton coats that are, they go down to mid thigh. They're long. And I pick out a couple of those, one black and one green. So then I like push and, you know, shove my way over to the dressing rooms and try all this junk on. And I must say, I'm having a bad moment with the mirror today. All my jiggly bits are going in every different direction, and I'm feeling very flabby. So, you know, I knew that I was feeling too crabby to buy clothes. It really, there's something about facing that mirror, and they don't do anything to help you with it either. They put those really nasty fluorescent lights in the dressing room, super cheap. The mirrors they put in those dressing rooms, I mean, do they get the funhouse mirrors that widen you out at the middle? It certainly feels like it. Nonetheless, I try on some stuff, and a good, you know, 2/3 of it goes to the return rack, but I end up buying a few really nice things. One pair of jeans for about $25, and a couple shirts for just $10 each, another shirt for $20, and then this really nice, one of those nice jackets for about $35. So it's about $100 worth of stuff, but I like it all a ton, and it all fits well, and I'm kind of excited about it, and I think that Nordstrom Rack might be my new favorite place to shop. By now, I'm pretty pooped. I am getting shopped out. I mean, I am really shopping here for the first time since I started doing this. Way too much of this stuff is staying with me. I have no intention of returning any of those clothes. The wine is not exchangeable in any way. I want that wine. The shoes I want to keep, the socks. I'll probably bring back the flip-flops and the bag. I'm keeping that meat thermometer. I have to keep the puzzles. I can't sustain this for the entire Mall of America. This is not a good trend that I'm somehow liking shopping. Keith was saying to me last night that this project was either going to make me never shop again, or it was going to make me a really good shopper. And I'm afraid that it may be the latter. And this is not a good development in my life. I mean, one of the ways that I manage to not spend too much money is to just spend shit on clothes. Never, ever, ever buy clothes, which of course makes me feel dowdy and gross a lot of the time too. But at least I'm not faced with the credit card bills that I'm going to be faced after today. Ugh. Okay. So, but I have to keep going. no choice. I have to do it. So right next to Nordstrom Rack is Sam Goody, the CD store. I don't really want anything in here, but I just charge right in and I go and I buy John Lennon Legend. Just really quick. I get it. I buy it. That's it. And I kind of want this one too. I think I might return this one because I actually have a CD I want to return to Barnes & Noble at some point, and I bet that they have Lennon Legend also, and that way I wouldn't actually have to spend new money on it. So that's my plan. I've discovered that I've now gone all the way down to Macy's, which is twice as far as I had really intended to go. I haven't hit that many stores. I guess they're all just really big. They take up a lot of space on this floor. So I decide to go around and try to hit all the rest of them coming back on the other side. And the first one that I hit is Candy Candy. Oh, I so do not want to buy anything in here. And it smells really vile with that really sicky, sweet, sugary smell. But they've got jelly beans, and the kids totally adore jelly beans. So I get them a big mix of jelly beans. When I say big, I don't really mean big. There's more jelly beans than I would want to sit down and eat in one sitting. However, it's not really that many in the grand scheme of things. And it costs $8. So once again, I'm buying something that can't be returned for way too much money. How do they get away with that? How do they survive, really? Do a lot of people come in here and buy jelly beans? I've always wondered that, actually, about these kinds of candy stores. How do places like this survive? It's kind of nasty in here. I step on a gumball at some point and it smushes beneath my foot. It's really, it's dirty. They need to clean it up. And I just bought a big bag of jelly beans for my kids from this gross place. Yay. Great. Good for you, Rosemary. Well, I hit all these big stores on the other side, and now I'm hitting all these little, really annoying stores on this side. The one after Candy Candy is Sox Appeal, S-O-X. And I have always walked past this store and thought, who the hell shops in a place like this? But here I am. And to be honest, I'm at a complete and utter loss in this place. Do I need socks? Sure. Do I really want these socks? Socks are not a big important thing in my life. There might be a small part of me which thinks, boy, wouldn't it be interesting if even that small detail of socks could be a thought about, cared for detail in your life? But honestly, I'm this person who has always shared her sock collection with her husband until recently when we bought a second dresser, and now I have my own sock drawer. But I have always worn men's black cotton socks, period. I like the kind of thick tubey ones. So the thought of buying socks with style is sort of mysterious to me. I end up purchasing 3 pairs of Calvin Klein socks. One is dark blue and light blue striped. One is tan with a darker tan band. And the last pair is just a pair of regular old black Calvin Klein socks. These socks are $8 a piece, and I spend $24 on 3 pairs of socks. I'm at a loss for words. What a stupid purchase this is. These are going back as soon as I can get them back. Now, if I thought Sox Appeal was a dumb store, I really think that Icing is a much dumber store. It is one of those stores where they sell lots of cheapo, glittery jewelry for high school students and other people who like cheapo, glittery jewelry. I don't know what to get in this store. I wouldn't wear one thing that they have in here. So I'm really searching for something to buy. And then I stumble on these little wooden boxes that are hidden in the back. They're super, super cheap, but they're kind of cute. And I was thinking, I don't really have a jewelry box right now, and that's because I really don't wear jewelry. However, gosh, these could be, you know, one could be for necklaces and bracelets, and then the other one could be for earrings or something like that. I just kind of think they're cute, and they're only $6 a piece. I'm kind of tempted to keep these, except that my day, oh, I probably shouldn't. You know, it's only $12, and yet, fuck, I'm spending a lot of money right now. And the stores just keep getting worse. Right after icing is Bow Wow Meow, which turns out to be a store of really stupid crap with which to pamper your pet, like yogurt covered dog treats and dog treats that are shaped like pizzas. And they sell those little sweaters and hats and little booties and things that people dress their dogs in. I don't know, to make them look really stupid, I guess. And they also have those little pet carriers that are for dogs the size of cats. Ugh. I think, well, I could get Gus the pizza treat and he'd probably love it for 2 seconds for, you know, $15 or whatever it was. I really don't want to buy anything in here, and I feel kind of irritated with the whole situation. I'm definitely getting crankier by the minute, but I move my way back through the store and I finally find these magnets that have dog heads on them. And I end up picking out two magnets, and I pick out one, which is a golden retriever, which is the kind of dog that Keith's mother has. And his name is Sam. And then, I pick out a bulldog, and Keith's sister has an English bulldog. And these are sort of Gus's friends, I conceive in my head, that somehow if I got these magnets that he could look at them and remember Sam and Kuma, which is kind of stupid because actually Kuma and Gus really don't like each other. So why he would want to be reminded of Kuma, I'm not sure. But this is what I do. I buy these two magnets, and then it turns out that they are changing their cash register system, and they have to do it all manually, including calling up the credit card company to get an approval on my card, which takes, you know, half an hour or some ridiculous thing. And I think I must be really dedicated to this project to be sitting around wasting my time like this. These things are going back. They're so dumb. It also occurs to me as I leave the store that what I should have gotten was one that looked like a black lab, because actually Gus's best friend is named Charlie and he is a black lab mix who lives in Brooklyn, and he never sees him anymore, obviously, because we left Brooklyn. But he might have wanted to be reminded of Charlie. That might have been a more logical choice, a little bit. I walk out of Bow Wow Meow, and I am pooped and crabby at this point. And I look at the next store in front of me. It is called Spirit of the Red Horse, and oh, you can just imagine what's in there. It's a lot of horse related stuff. It's a lot of sort of native looking stuff, but very cheesy kind of way of presenting it. And it also all looks really expensive. And I decide that I draw my line here, that I am done for the day. I can't do it anymore. I cannot be asked to go into Spirit of the Red Horse right now and pretend to want one of these stupid things. I'm tired. I'm pretty crabby. And I think that for today, it's time to go home.